Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. Tonight's encore presentation, Selena discussed ways of creating and working with individual and group spiritual healing altars from 2014.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we continue our exploration of altar craft by examining healing altars. To begin, let us connect with healing and divine forms of healing. Divine healers, we call to you and honor you. Healing goddesses, healing gods, healing spirit, ancestors, sacred forms. We call to you and invite you to be with us tonight as we explore ways of working with altars to connect with you. We call to the powers of sacred earth. Bring healing of the physical realm. We call to powers of the sacred air. Bring healing of the mental realm. We call the powers of sacred fire. Bring healing of the vitality realm. We call to the powers of the sacred water. Bring healing of the emotional realm. We call to the powers of spirit. Bring healing of the spiritual realm. We call to the powers of community, to the divine as one and many, the powers of healing place, healing intent, healing magic. Guide us in this work and in our studies and in our actions. So mote it be. A healing altar is a place where healing work is done for one or more who are in need, calling on the powers of healing through contact with deities and other divine forces associated with healing. Tonight, I will share with you some of the ways to create and work with healing altars. I will share personal experiences as well as traditions that go across different spiritual paths. A healing altar can range from very simple. It may take the form of a healing symbol, such as a clear quartz crystal or a candle that's kindled with healing intention. Or a healing altar can be quite complex with many symbols calling for healing from many forms of the divine, addressing the healing needs of many. Healing altars can also vary according to their location. Many healing altars are indoors, but there are also healing altars and healing shrines with altar places outside, usually at a place dedicated for sacred work. Healing altars can be ongoing. Their duration may be continual, or a healing altar may be set up for a very specific ritual for healing of one or more, or a healing altar may be set up specifically to send healing to a particular person in need and will exist the length of time it takes for that person better. A healing altar can be quite specific. It can focus on a particular type of healing for a particular individual needing healing. A healing altar can be general. It may be multifaceted. It may work with multiple dimensions of healing for multiple people. A healing altar may be in the home. It may be in some type of shared community space. It may be at a sacred site, a temple, a church, a sacred circle. A healing altar might be in a public space. And indeed, when there have been tragedies, often people will go to a place connected with the tragic event, whether it's somebody being hurt or there's been death or a combination. And healing altars and altars of remembrance may converge as a form of public focus of support. A healing altar may actually be part of a larger altar, such as a personal altar. There may be a section on a personal altar specifically where the person using the altar puts healing requests. So a healing altar, as you can see, can take a variety of different forms. A healing altar often has several different component parts, regardless of what type of healing altar it is. There typically is some representation of the divine as healer. This may be in the form of a particular deity, or a pantheon of deities, or a pair or triplicity of deities. There typically is a representation of healing force or healing power. Sometimes that's one with the sacred image of the divine healer. Sometimes it's something separate. And another common part of a healing altar is some representation of the one or ones needing healing. In addition to these parts of a healing altar, there may be various healing tools. A healing altar may have symbols of each of the elements of nature, a dish of salt representing earth, incense representing air, a wand or a fire candle or oil lamp representing fire, a chalice or bowl or cup of water representing water, and a symbol representing spirit, such as a crystal or a mandala, or some type of personal symbol connected with inner life. In addition to these representations, there may be some tools that are used in spiritual healing work, such as some type of rhythm instrument, a sistrum, a drum, a rattle, a flute, a bell. These are some examples of having some type of musical instrument that's used for healing. I often will work with a singing bowl or a bell or a sistrum in setting up a healing altar that I'm going to be working with. In addition to musical instruments, there may be some other type of healing tool. It might be healing oils or a healing charm that may be energized and then given to the person in need. There may be a book with healing rituals and meditations in it that's used as a guide. Or there may be a journal and pen on the healing altar where one makes note of who is in need of healing and what has been done. It's important that before beginning work at a healing altar, that you prepare yourself, you reflect on the kind of healing work that you'll be doing, and then as you approach the altar, you do so in a way that you're centered and balanced, that the altar itself is in good shape. You may do a blessing of yourself with oil or incense. You may kindle incense or sound a bell as a way of beginning your healing practice at the healing altar. If the healing altar you're using is something that you have created, then you know your own protocols for it. If it's a healing place, a healing altar, a healing shrine that is used by multiple people, and that there is someone who caretakes it, be sure to understand what the protocols are, what can be touched, what can be moved, what can be done at that particular healing altar space. I'd like to share now several types of healing altars, get into the specifics. And these are altars that you can create and work with. First of all, let's take a look at a healing altar for a particular individual in need. And you are creating this for that particular person, but that person is not physically present. So what you need is some type of symbol to represent the person, the plant, the creature, the place, the one needing healing. Some examples to choose from would be a photograph. Ideally, that photograph is a recent photograph of the person in pretty healthy form, not in robust healthy form, so that as you use that as a focus, you call to mind the person being able to return to wellness. If a photograph is not available, you might have a card or a letter that this person has sent to you, something with the person's signature. Or you may write the person's name, like a 3x5 card, and let that be the focus, the representation for the person in need. Some other things that you could use would be a lock of hair of the person, if the person's open to that. An item that that person has given to you. It might be an email or message or some other communication that the person has sent to you, whether it is signed or not. The idea in having the representation of the one needing healing is that it is a physical presence and link to the one who's in need of healing and can serve as what's known as an object link in directing your healing attentions. In addition, it is a good idea to have some type of symbol representing healing being sent. This may take the form of a candle that you light as you direct healing prayers, chants, meditations, and ritual activity to the one needing help. But it can be a flower, it could be scented oil, it can be some type of healing stone or symbol. What's important is that whatever you select, and it might be several items that you work with, that as you do your healing work, you use the focus with the object that you have as the representation, that you also have a representation of the action being done, the healing being sent. This is especially important if the altar that you have set up is something that's going to be activated over time. Some like to kindle a candle and have it burn continuously, and before it is done, kindling another candle to keep living flame as a representation of healing being sent. If you are available to attend to that living flame continually, that could work. But often what happens is that there is a need to be in other places, perhaps visiting the person in need in a hospital. And it's not a good idea, safety-wise, to have a candle burning unattended. In this case, you can use battery-operated candle, or you can use some other symbol, such as a bowl of water with rose petals in it, or a crystal that you also have worked with in sending healing energy. When doing healing work for the one in need, you may wish to call on the sacred that you are connected with, that works with healing. And or you may want to call on the divine healer form or forms that the person in need really is attuned to and wishes to have support from. Some do both. Some use a more universal divine healing spirit, come and be with us instead of being real specific. So here's a matter of personal preference as well as really taking a good look at the situation. In addition to having a representation of the one needing healing and a representation of healing that's being sent, you may wish to also have some representation of those who are caring for the one in need of healing. That could take the form of writing out names of loved ones that may be with the one who is in need of healing. It may take the form of some additional candles being kindled, a candle for the medical caregivers, the candle for family, a candle for friends. So you may wish to surround the representation of the one needing healing with some other representations so that you have before you the manifestation of the pattern of caregiving and help for the person in need. In working with this type of altar, one can do this continuously if that makes practical sense, or one may do some work at the altar, have it activated, and then have it continue to be a source of healing where at predictable intervals or at least several times a day as schedule and circumstances permit, that additional reinforcement work is done at this type of healing altar. And then once healing has been achieved, which hopefully will happen, then it is a good idea to give thanks to the sacred force or forces you've called upon for this healing, to give thanks for the healing that has happened, and to put forth a prayer for continued well-being as the one in need of healing who is now healed moves ahead with life. That type of healing altar for an individual in need is for what's known as absent healing work. The person is not physically present. There's another way of doing a healing altar for the individual in need, and this is when that altar is by the person in a hospital room, in a home, or in some other place where the person is seeking healing and is being cared for. I do healing work, not only absent healing work, but from time to time I go into hospitals and hospices and birthing centers and clinics and a variety of other places, nursing homes, assisted care facilities. And it depends on the venue where I am attending to the one needing healing as to what I carry with me, what is permitted in the place. But very often, if somebody is going to be receiving treatment in a hospital over a period of several days, I will, if requested, set up a healing altar for the one in need. It's usually part of some existing hospital furniture. Usually it's right next to the bed, a little table or a space on a table. And what I endeavor to do there is to have some symbol that has already been energized for healing that I've done previously, or it's come out of a ritual that I've facilitated, and that's there as a link to the work that already is ongoing. When a person has been in a hospital for a period of time and has one of these individual healing need altars, it's really a wonderful addition, if the space permits, to put gifts, expressions of healing on that altar. So there may be cards, get well cards, there may be balloons, flowers, plants. Here again, it depends on the person and the protocols of the hospital or other place where the person is. But that altar not only has the practicality of being a place that spiritual healing work can be done, but it's an ever-present reminder for the person needing healing that healing wishes and prayers and blessings are being sent. In addition to this, it's a good idea in an institutional setting, such as a hospital or birthing center, to have conversations with the medical staff, to let them know that there's an interest on the part of the one needing healing and yourself to have this altar, explain what it is. And most of the time, that kind of explanation and interface will assure that the altar itself will be where it needs to be and continue to be maintained. And when the time comes for the person to be released from the facility, then those items can be gathered up as part of the packing up process. And so if you explain that this is actually a spiritual healing altar place, it generally will get the respect that it deserves. In addition to an altar for an individual in a hospital, an altar can be set up in the home setting if a person is actually back at home and is recuperating there. Here, there's a lot more flexibility and generally more space. So you may have not one, but a couple different places where cards and crystals and symbols of healing can be placed for the person. And that can be just a really wonderful thing to have. Now, in addition to looking at healing altars for individuals in need that are pretty much tied into a particular condition or situation, then we need to take a look at healing altars that are used to do healing work for multiple people in need. Some examples of these kinds of altars would be an altar that is used as part of a healing ritual in which those taking part can contribute names of loved ones that have healing needs. When you have a multiple ones in need healing altar, it's helpful to have some representation of all the different ones in need. That can take the form of kindling a candle for each one, writing the name of each one on a card and placing that in the center of the altar space. It also could take the form of having something like a hoop with ribbons, bits of cloth on it, and each ribbon or bit of cloth represents a healing request for someone in need. We have healing hoops that we use as part of our group healing ritual work. And after we have worked with that hoop in a ceremony, we place it at an indoor healing altar. That's a community healing altar space ongoing. Or we take it outside to one of our outdoor healing places, the most known of which is Bridget Spring. I started the tradition at Circle Sanctuary of having a healing hoop that I fashioned out of grapevine, sometimes willow, or some other natural material, and tying on ribbons and bits of cloth, and then hanging it near the spring on a tree, or now we have some metal hooks that allow the healing hoops to be right at the spring. And it's an adaptation of a very old custom of tying cloth at sacred wells and holy springs, many of whom were dedicated to a particular form of healing divinity, in particular Bridget. Our healing spring is dedicated to her. And by having prayer ribbons, prayer cloths, and having that present, you have a physical representation of the one in need. And it's also a wonderful symbol of having many colors, many ribbons, of recognizing the community of those needing healing and having those prayers go out in a community way. Some will have indoor healing altar with multiple requests, a large cauldron filled with sand, and taper candles, each representing a healing request for someone, are kindled and then set in the sand. And that has a very pragmatic dimension to it. It's a way of having a lot of candles close together without the need of candle holders, and the sand also will capture any wax. And it's a very beautiful sight. Some like to use tea lights and little tea light holders, and sometimes we will use that at our group healing ceremonies. In addition to these types of healing altars, I'd like to talk a few moments about a couple other types of healing altars. And one is a healing altar for oneself. If you have a particular healing situation for yourself that's going on, then you may find it helpful either on your personal altar, creating a space, or what might be even better if you have the space and the inclination is to create a particular altar specifically for the healing need that you have. If it's a particular disease that you're fighting, then you could place on that altar some representations of healing treatments. If there are particular herbs that are used for restoring wellness, to have them represented either in actual form, some dried leaves, or if you're in a place where you can get some fresh material and have it either in the form of a potted plant or put into a vase, that is another wonderful way of having healing represented. In addition to this type of healing altar for yourself, you may want to have some representation of holistic healing and kindle a candle for each of the five elements of nature and five dimensions of healing, which are part of the Circle Craft tradition. So I kindle a candle for physical healing and well-being. So healing for your body, kindling a candle for healing for your mind, your mental state, kindling a candle for vitality and stamina, kindling a candle for emotions, emotional healing, kindling a candle for spiritual healing. And as you kindle each candle, doing a prayer, a blessing for that. In addition to these physical forms of healing, there's also another type of healing altar that doesn't have a physical manifestation. It isn't an actual place where you are moving objects around and standing before a healing altar. And that is what I call a healing altar in cyberspace. And some really wonderful healing work can be done through social networking and linking people to websites that have pictures of a person. It may be a website that's specifically dedicated for healing. It might be on a social media site such as Facebook. Circle Sanctuary has the Circle Healing Circle page, and there those who wish can go to that place and post healing requests, healing photographs, healing updates, or if they choose, can send that to circle@circlesanctuary.org, and we will do post ourselves there. As we take a look at healing shrines and all their diversity and healing altars, we recognize that they are but a tool for the healing work that is done. It is important to consider the situation and the needs and to check in with those who have the healing needs about how they're doing and what their needs are. One of the things that can be really powerful in having a healing altar set up continuously is that you can go to that place and do multiple healings throughout the course of a day or a month. And if a place has an ongoing healing aspect, then it starts being a place that not only you, but other people that would be using it associate with healing. And one of the reasons we have both an indoor and an outdoor healing space at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve is so that it's accessible to people throughout the year. In this last part of our evening, I am inviting those of you who are in live chat or those of you who may be connecting with me on my main Facebook page. If you have any questions or comments or things to share about healing altars, I invite you to do so. And it seems that some of those of you who are in live chat have some healing needs yourself. So I invite you to take some of the healing that we may be focused on as we talk about healing altars, and let that go to you. One image that I like to use as I do group healing work is to have those who are joining in healing work, and we can do some healing work in this magical realm of cyberspace, is to envision a healing light, a radiant light like a star, being in our midst, and each of us connected with creating this beautiful sphere of light. And as we envision that, letting the divine as one, as many that we connect with, flow through us, and let divine healing grow in that visualization. And now we imagine that sphere turning into a fountain of light, with rays of light coming out and going to all who have a need. The idea of a fountain of light is a way of moving the energy from that sphere shape into something that can go into many directions at once. If you are imagining that and you are seeking to send some healing using this fountain of light to someone in need, for yourself or someone else, imagine that one being in good health. Use the visualization of a person being healthy and glowing with the light that is coming to them from us doing the healing work together. May healing be within us and around us. May healing go to all those in need. Divine is one, divine is goddess, divine is God, divine is many. Divine healers, be with us, guide this healing working. May all be well, so mote it be. And now I'm going to share some feedback to those who have posted messages in live chat and or on my Selena Fox Updates page on Facebook. I posted a picture right before starting the show of a five-pointed star candelabra with five tea lights and votive glasses. And in the center is a quartz crystal. And this is a healing altar that I use on special occasions. It's in my home. I got this many, many years ago. It was gifted to me. Haven't seen one since, but I imagine those who have friends who are blacksmiths, metalsmiths, might be able to craft one for you. Some of you wondering where to get one. So it could be crafted, and you don't actually need to have the star depicted as it is here in a candelabra. You could take five candles and set them in a five-pointed star shape. I put the crystal in the center as a representation of spiritual healing in a holistic form, and kindled each of those candles with a prayer for healing according to the five dimensions of body, mind, vitality, emotions, and spirit or soul. Another thing is that a number have asked about receiving healing, and I do think something that can be good as one is recovering from healing and doing healing for oneself is to have a particular time every day where you reinforce spiritual healing work that you're doing for yourself and that others are sending to you. And that could be a simple thing as standing before a healing altar and kindling a candle and doing an affirmation or a prayer. So in this final part of our show, I want to welcome into the conversation David and Jeanette Ewing, who assist me with the show every week. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Yeah, so I've been able to look at some of the comments in the chat room as well as on Facebook, and I'd be interested in hearing any thoughts that you have about healing altars, either responses to some of the things that I've shared or experiences with doing healing work. I got a really wonderful healing candle that you all crafted for me and gave to me a number of years ago that I've used as part of some healing work that I've done on behalf of those in need.
Oh, that's cool. I don't.
Yeah, that had to be some years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. It was when I turned 50 years old, and I'm 64 now, so it was a while ago.
Okay. Interesting. And, you know, one of the things that what is typical is the use of candles. And one thing to think about is whether or not the person wants to use small candles to be lit for, that will stay lit for a short period of time every day, or whether or not you want to go the completely opposite and use the large, what we call the 7-day jar candles, and you can get them any number of places to do something continuously. I know that that can be, you know, that's an important logistical consideration for that.
Yeah, and I've used a variety of different types of candles, and I've also have used crystals in connection with candles, and so that I'm working with them. And so at times where I cannot physically be present at an altar and keep a live candle going, there is the tradition that extinguishing the candle, the energy of the candle is still present in the wick, and you can have something else being activated, such as a crystal. And someone in live chat asked about what are some good crystals to use for healing. I like to use clear quartz crystals because they're all purpose, and they've also had a really long history of use for healing and sacred work on planet Earth. And some really old archaeological sites, you'll find quartz crystals as ceremonial objects. Another type of quartz, amethyst, which is the purple quartz, is something that I've found as a wonderful healing stone, in particular for balance. Rose quartz, some will use rose quartz crystals, especially helping those with emotional healing and need for love and good self-esteem. Citrine, smoky quartz, there's just a whole variety of quartz crystals that are available and that have had many uses for healing purposes. But things such as fluorite and opal and turquoise and jet and amber and ruby and emerald, just a whole host of other stones can also have healing purposes. In fact, a stone from a sacred site taken with permission can be a wonderful thing, a kind of healing talisman. And we have an area at Circle Sanctuary where we have small pieces of sandstone. This area is called Spirit Rock. It's an ancient ceremonial site. And so these aren't crystals per se. It's actually small sandstone bits that have just naturally come off from the really large rocks there. And every year I gather them prior to our big summer solstice gathering called the Pagan Spirit Gathering. And I take them with me to the gathering, and people bring stones from various places around the country, and we have a stone exchange, and people take these bits of sandstone, and I know they've made their way to many altars and have been used for healing and a connection with this ancient sacred place. And so certainly having some type of healing stones as part of a healing altar setup can be really fabulous. Some people like to have a particular image of a deity or a pair of deities, a goddess and god, or it might be a triplicity. And we've recently had a series of Imbolc celebrations, and I've created a number of different altars, and one of the Bridget images I have is actually Bridget in three forms. And so whether you use that to call upon her healing powers, or you use a symbol such as a Bridget cross, having an image of the divine that you are aligned with and that you are working with as you do healing work can be a really wonderful addition to a healing altar. Some don't actually use images of the divine at all, but do an invocation. Call on the particular form or forms of the divine and address the prayers in that way. Or some will kindle a candle. And I see the comment about, yes, it is a climb to the top of Spirit Rock at Circle Sanctuary, and it's well worth the scramble. I totally agree. And there is the long way to get there, and then there is the shorter way, which you drive to the road entrance and then walk through the woods. And Spirit Rock, it has been used for a number of different ceremonies, but some of the healing work that I've done there with groups of people, we go out to the rock, we honor the space, and then we just sit on the rock. It's such an ancient, sacred place. Just being present there is a healing in of itself. And I actually consider Spirit Rock as one very large healing shrine altar, that we are there and we put ourselves in this really ancient rock and look at a beautiful vista where we see most of the sanctuary before us. It can be really a wonderful thing.
And thus ends Selena's discussion about healing altars on this encore presentation from 2014. We'll now close out with the Returning to the Ancient Ways chant from one of Circle's early PSGs, and we wish you a good night. And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.